Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome and wonderful episode of Larry's Biblecast. Good morning, or good day to each and every one of you. So I hope that you guys are all having a wonderful week going through this week. And guess what, guys? This is Holy Week. We're right in the middle of Holy Week now. And I am in day three of this awesome and wonderful devotional my memory just slipped me on this one. My Utmost for His Highest, which is a awesome devotional by Oswald Chambers. And it's a Bible app also in the Bible, YouVersion Bible app as well. Also, today's edition is the Holy Week edition. We are focused on this week as being Holy Week. And so by the time you listen to this recording, we should be in day three, possibly Tuesday, of this devotional right now. And guess what? So some of you just had a wonderful Palm Sunday, and during the time of celebration of this time in which Christ entered into Jerusalem on the donkey, as we read that before, and the palm branches and the triumphant, they entitled the triumphant entry. Man, so we also know that during this week, we'll probably end with the consecration part of Good Friday. Some of us recognize that as the time in which Christ was crucified, and the 3 days or the what Christ has told his disciples, that he will be crucified, and then on the third day he will rise from the grave. He will not stay in the grave. He will not be dead. I was listening to a wonderful podcast from a gentleman who was teaching, and from his custom that he's from, whether in the the Jewish custom, they he mentions that Christ is risen. And the answer back would be, he is risen indeed. I thought it was a pretty wonderful, just a wonderful salutation. And that was where people would say during the time of what we know of as Easter, or what some of us call Resurrection Sunday. But like he says, you know, he mentions that Christ has risen. And then the response is, he is risen indeed. And so I really puts joy in my heart, like I'm sure some of you have, you know, think about the triumphant, not just the triumphant entry that we celebrate on Palm Sunday, commemorating the time that he entered in Jerusalem. But this was all prophetically ordained, and it was actually, you know, these whole events was prophetic, but it was also already destined. It was almost like these events were already put in place just so that these things would happen. Amen. So I want to kind of really just encourage you all to just kind of take that time to really read your Bibles and stuff, and really pray and ask the Lord, you know, to put your heart and your mind in a good state of mind this week. But also, like always, you know, spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let somebody know about why do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we celebrate the Palm Sunday? Why do we commemorate Good Friday? You know, these things, you know, there's a lot of people in the non-believing world. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things that we see on television, whether it be movies or shows or whatever. And a lot of times they kind of put the emphasis on Christ in some ways, and sometimes they do it right, sometimes they don't. But I'm gonna tell you, you know, anything that points to Christ, hopefully, is a way to encourage people to turn their life closer to Him. Whether it may not be in a way that we think is correctly done, but at the same time, if the whole motivation is to get you closer to the Lord, to get non-believers closer to the Lord, you know, any type of way, hopefully It does that. Amen. So let's make that our prayer this week. Let's make that our prayer that more people come into the kingdom of God, into the working knowledge of Jesus Christ, and even allow you to have opportunities to be able to share the good news of Christ with someone. Amen. Whether it be a neighbor, friend, co-worker, whatever it may be. You know, you believe it or not, the Lord will open up doors of opportunity. If all you have to do is ask. You know, a lot of times we think that, oh, well, we have so many excuses as to why we don't want it or what we can't do. But all we got to do is pray and ask the Lord. And guess what? The Lord will open the door opportunity. He will give the opportunity. He will open that door. And we have to be able to be ready when the Lord tells us, when it's time to share, when it's time to open your mouth and like the Bible says, you know, give a reason for the good news, for the reason of the hope that what hope that lies in you. Amen. That's what the Bible encourages us to do, you know. So just make sure that this week, you know, ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Share that the fact that what we celebrate, it's not just for religious people. It's not a religious thing. This is a real situation. It's a real life thing. And God wants all men to come into the working knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. His desire is that no man should perish, but all come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, I know I talked a little bit further in this intro, but we're going to get into a pretty good devotional today, and simply entitled, Are You Going With Jesus? So again, we want to kind of get into that and find out what this devotional is talking about and how we can apply the word of God to our lives. Amen. All right. Thank you again for tuning in, and I appreciate you. Hopefully everything is going well for you and your family this week, and we'll be talking to you soon. Until then, sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. So let's get right into the scripture portion of today's devotional. Again, as always, I'm glad that you have decided to tune in with me and become a part of this listening audience. I really can't say enough about how grateful I am to have you all as my listening audience. Those of you that subscribe and share this podcast, I really am very grateful and very blessed to have you all. And I want you all to remember that it's just not me alone. It's us as a family. You know, we are all a part of the family of God, as well as listening audience and me sharing the word of God. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to also take it upon yourselves to spread the message of Jesus Christ, to spread the message of the gospel, especially at a time that we're living in right now, in the time that we have right now. It's so important to take advantage of such a great opportunity to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's so important that there are so many others that some of you may know, some people that I know as well, that have not even heard the gospel, have not even given a chance. And I constantly think about it quite a bit, especially during these times that we consider either the last days, or I know some of us call them the last days or the final hour, or whatever we call, we identify with these times. But it should give us a sense of we should give us a sense of urgency, in a sense, because one of the things that I know, just like as well, some of you may look around you at the world today and see all kind of different things that is happening in our world, whether it be wars and rumors of wars, or different types of pestilence that's happening, or, you know, sometimes the weather seems a little strange. But we have to get to a place and understand that this is a time of urgency and of utmost importance. I think that as a church, we have to be more mindful that we don't have forever, you know, and not even saying that in the sense of not just the events and situations that are happening in our lifetime, but also even in your life. In other words, you know, we are called to be home with the Lord, you know, at different various times. We don't know when our last day is, or we don't know when is the last time, you know, your relatives or your friends or your associates may hear your voice and hear you being able to tell them about the love of God and giving their life to the Lord. I think it's so important. It's our responsibility. The Bible tells us that he tells us in the Great Commission to go into all the world. The Lord himself commanded all, each and every one of us as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good news, tell others. You know, preaching doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a church behind a pulpit. You can be in the lunchroom. You could be in the break room. You can be catching the bus or in a grocery store or just having a conversation over the phone. You know, we got technology now. And just like myself, I'm utilizing this podcast that you're listening to help spread the gospel. There's so many different ways in which you can share the love of God and the good news of Jesus Christ while there is still time. And remember, God, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back soon, and soon could be within the next hour, the next few minutes, or it could be for maybe many years from now. But regardless of when that soon is, you know, we have to trust and believe. We know and we trust and believe that Jesus Christ means what he says, and that what he says in his word is coming true and coming to pass. We can read some of the things that has happened in the prophets in the Old Testament that prophesied about the coming of the Lord, and then how it has later on has been fulfilled in the New Testament. And we begin to see just how God's word is actually being fulfilled, not just being fulfilled biblically according to the messianic prophecies of the Messiah coming as he did come, but we also see the prophecies in regards to the world and the way the world changes, the kingdoms of the world, the nations that rise up against one another in this world. We begin to see that, and also focusing in on the nation of Israel. You know, I'm not very I would not call myself a Israel student or a scholar per se when it comes to that, but I too, just like yourself, am learning about not only the God's promise to Israel and the Jewish nation, and how that even today in 2023, how the world stage is going to be surrounding that event, that biblical event, but also the prophetic event that will happen coming to, you know, fulfilling Bible prophecy. So again, I don't want to really get too far into that because I'm also learning myself as well, but I am keeping my eyes open and keeping my heart open. And even if you don't know very much about Bible prophecy and how it connects with the world today that we're living in, even if you don't know, it's just important for us and for you to study God's word and share just whether it's just the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, this week we are in the middle of Holy Week, and so I hope and pray that some of you have taken this time to really take this as an opportunity to commemorate the time in which Jesus Christ was preparing for the greatest sacrifice of his life, and how God had gave us his only begotten son, and how this week is such an important time, and not only in Christianity, but also in the world. You know, we know Christians all across the world celebrate and commemorate this time, but this is so important. Like I said before, take this time to commemorate, whether it's consecrating yourself before the Lord, you know, reading more in your Bible, praying a lot more, you know, kind of cutting back on certain things, whether it be television, social media, radio programs, or whatever you indulge in, whatever it may be, whether it's food or drink or what have you, whatever it is, you know, kind of set that aside this week and give your attention, your devotion to the Lord in this time, this whole week, and just kind of go through the scriptures like I'm doing right now about what was going on during this time of Holy Week. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not really good on Jewish culture, but the thing is that I'm realizing that this was a time in which, you know, it was a timeline, and these things that was happening then is also more meaningful now as we approach the end of this age, or this generation comes to a close. You know, the world is not getting any better, and you know, we can pray all we want for peace, and I hope that God does bring peace, but unfortunately it looks like God will still allow the things that is going on in the world, the evil that will happen in the world, and it's all going according to the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be true, and as we read through the Bible, as we read from, say, Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible to Revelations, you'll begin to see a constant theme between the scriptures about God loving his people, loving us, loving you and me, even though some of us that may be listening are not of Jewish descent, we are also a part of God's spiritual family. And we'll see in the end in Revelations how God will begin to make things, all things come to full circle. He will complete everything that he started out with. It sounds like sometimes the devil might seem like he's winning, or seem like God is allowing him, and he is actually, but he's actually at the same time, he's given so many of us a chance to come to the faith, come in and come and give our lives to him. So take this time to really think about the pursuit of God and getting closer to the Lord, and also giving your heart to the Lord, and also sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. We don't have too much time. So again, I'm not saying I know exactly what time and when he's coming, but I do know, based on the things that we are now seeing in this world today, and things have always been happening, but it seems like, to me, it just seems like it's happening more frequently, and you're seeing more things and more people, you know, men's hearts waxing cold, meaning that they're doing so much more when it comes to just murders and killings and just not caring about human life. We're seeing more and more of that. You know, every time you turn on the news, there's so much more going on in our world. So there's so much to pray for. Okay, so much to pray for. So we are not to be afraid, but we do need to have a sense of urgency. We do need to have a sense of being more locked in. Now it's no time to play church anymore. So it's very important, very important. So I didn't mean to say all that. I know this was kind of a little extra, but I want to get into today's devotional. Again, we are into, this one is going to be in My Utmost for His Highest, the Holy Week edition. And My Utmost for His Highest has been a very good devotional. If any of you want to pick that up, I highly recommend it. It's I want to say Oswald Chambers is the author of My Utmost for His Highest. It is a classic devotional, to be honest with you. You can pick it up either at your Bible bookstore, but I'm sure by now you can look it up on Amazon, and they'll have plenty of devotionals on Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. But this one in particular that we're going through right here, it's an 8-day devotional, and the Holy Week edition. Again, as I said, we're commemorating this time. So let's get into today's verse right here. And today's verse is found in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 28. And it simply says here, "You have stayed with me in my time of trial." All right. Let's read a little bit further. just read a little bit further into that just to see exactly what he was talking about. Excuse me. And let's see. I'm sorry, I didn't have this prepared, but we're going to go and read. I like to read the context of this. And like I said, it was in verse 28. And it says here, let's see here. Okay, so this is Jesus talking here, and he is explaining. This is during the time in which he has been talking with his disciples during the Last Supper. And we'll find out like later this week as we approach the time of Good Friday, which is the day in which Christ, we commemorate the time of Christ when he has been crucified. We'll probably be getting back into the scripture among the disciples as he sat with them speaking about the final days or final moments that he will have. And he was preparing. He was preparing his disciples at the time of what will happen. So let's go back. And again, it simply says in our devotional, you have stayed with me in my time of trial. Okay. Now he was actually praying here. And as we continue this, he says, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's go a little bit further back than that. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lorded over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Okay? So this is really interesting right now. We see where this is a moment in which I thought it was where Jesus was praying. He wasn't. He was actually talking with his disciples at the table, which is what we know of as the Last Supper. And so this was a time where it was a very, I would say it was a very intimate time with his disciples as he was explaining the things that will happen. But one of the last wonderful things we see here, he says that you have stayed with me in my time of trial. Now, let me stop right here and think about this for a minute, you know, or talk about this for a minute. You know, it's very important that when you're going through a trial is either a test or something that's very bad, very challenging in your life. And I think that is so awesome that we I don't know whether you have had people or friends or someone special in your life that has been with you during your time of trial. And so we see here that Jesus has been talking to his disciples during the midst of what is getting ready to happen. So he's preparing them. He's hoping. Now, some of you like me already know what will happen, kind of like, you know, watching a movie and you know what's going to happen in the episode or maybe what's going to happen in later in the movie. But we also know that Jesus enters into one of the most harshest trials of his life. One of the things that I like to point out is that Jesus's ministry was only 3.5 years. He was 30. He was 33 when he was crucified and the end of his earthly life was. So that wasn't very long. And so we can see that some of us, that as we read the Gospels, whether it be Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, we see that there is a sense of timeliness and urgency that happens throughout this time of the Gospel, from the time that he is baptized by John the Baptist and then going one that went out and sent by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested and to be tempted by the devil. We see all these things that begin to happen. And then after that, it's kind of like he hits the ground running with a lot of different miracles and a lot of different things that are happening. He talks to people. He ministers to people. He talks to people about the kingdom of God. And here we are. We took in this whole time. Imagine this was 3.5 years, 3.5 years of his life that was dedicated to ministry and dedicated to talking about the kingdom of God. We see here immediately that as we're approaching the end here, that he's sitting now at the table. He has been with these disciples. He has talked with these disciples. Disciples have now followed him. They have learned from him. They watched him. You know, they watched his different encounters, whether it be with demons, whether it be with feeding the crowds of, I think it was like 2,000, feeding the crowd of 2,000 and another crowd of 5,000. He done these type of miracles, raised people from the dead. He's also raised people like Lazarus, a friend of his, from the dead. It's just amazing things. The blind, like the Bible says, you know, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He also set free the captives. In other words, he talked about the kingdom of God. He taught on the kingdom of God, and more importantly, he began to pass these lessons and began to pass these teachings on to his disciples. Now we're sitting here in Luke 22, and we're reading about them at the Lord's Supper and how he's sitting here talking to them about, you have stayed with me in my time of trials. Now, you know, he begins to talk about, and before this, he talks about how the ranking order, he talks about the kingdom. And every time that, you know, a lot of times we find people, when they talk about the kingdom, they talk about something great. They think that something's going to happen. They think of things of conquer and victory. But unfortunately, we'll realize later this week, as a matter of fact, we'll realize that all the things that we thought that Jesus, that the disciples actually, that Jesus was talking about, they thought that it was going to be victorious, and then it would be victorious in the sense that him taking over. But Jesus understands this. And one of the things that we now know is that victory was not just about taking on an earthly kingdom or earthly dominion, whether they were in Rome at that time, whether there was the Roman rule at that time. It was more or less like taking over the eternal kingdom. In other words, the victory over Satan, of the victory over sin, and the victory over death. The victory over sin because of what happened in the Garden of Eden from the time of Adam all the way to now. So we begin to understand and see that this here sacrifice and where these things were leading up to was for the abolishment of the sin nature in our lives. And that was what's more important. That's what God wanted to do. This is why Jesus was sent into the world. Amen. So let's kind of take a quick little break here, and we're going to get back into the devotional. Again, just thank you for tuning in, and we have a lot more to go through, and we'll be right back. So welcome back. So we're going to get right into the devotional part that we're getting ready to read. And this is called, Are You Going On With Jesus? This is a question for us. So it says, Are You Going On With Jesus? It says, It is true that Jesus Christ is with us through our temptations, but are we going on with him through his temptations? Many of us turn back from going on with Jesus from the very moment we have an experience of what he can do. Watch when God changes your circumstance to see whether you are going on with Jesus or siding with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We wear his name, but are we going on with him? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And the temptations of Jesus continued throughout his earthly life. They will continue throughout the life of the Son of God in us. Are you going on with Jesus in the life we are living right now? We have the idea that we ought to shield ourselves from some of the things God brings around us. May it never be. It is God who engineers our circumstances, and whatever they may be, we must see that we face them while continually abiding with him in his temptations. They are his temptations, not temptations to us, but temptations to the life of the Son of God in us. Jesus Christ's honor is at stake in our bodily lives. Are we remaining faithful to the Son of God and everything that attacks his life in us? Are you going on with Jesus? The way goes through Gethsemane, through the city gate, and on the outside camp, which is found in Hebrews 13 and 13. The way is lonely and goes on until there is no longer even a trace of a footprint to follow, but only the voice saying, "Follow me," Matthew 4:19. Wow, so what do you guys think about that? So it's amazing. I never thought about the fact that Jesus was still suffering the temptations from within. I've always understood that Jesus was tempted. And like the Bible does say, there's a scripture that says that, that he has been tempted in every way like we have been, so that he understands, even as a high priest, what we go through. And I also understand during temptations that, you know, he also provides a way of escape. So how are you guys faring about this today, about temptations? What are your thoughts about temptations? Do some of you have the idea, or maybe the feeling, that when you receive Christ that you wouldn't suffer any temptations? But I'm here to tell you from experience that, you know, even when you accept Christ, even if you give your life to give your life and heart to the Lord, you still will suffer temptations. Temptations are the devil's way of still trying to tempt you to either do the things that you used to do, or act in a way that you used to act, or react to ways or situations or circumstances. Remember, we're living in this world, and we don't have a spiritual bubble, but we do have the Holy Spirit. And the thing that's wonderful about having the Holy Spirit is that he aids us and guides us throughout the rest of our life. From the time that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you begin to walk in his ways, reading your Bible, praying, and getting close to the Lord, asking God to strengthen you each and every day, giving you guidance each and every day. Those are the things that help us as believers to continue on in this life, because this life is challenging. This life is not perfect. And I think, and I'm very grateful, and I know some of you may be just very grateful that God sent his Son into the world to sacrifice his life for us. Remember, the initial sacrifice, the death on the cross, the blood that was shed for us, that was for the sin nature. Each and every one of us, and, you know, again, some of you may know the salvation story, or the salvation that we now have thanks to him, is that he's given his life for us, and the blood that was shed for us was the payment for the sin nature that was already in you and me. We already have it. So don't be surprised, and don't feel bad or beat yourself up over the fact that you still get these temptations. Every time you get a temptation, every time the devil tries to come and attack, every time you may seem like you might be somebody by yourself, maybe you're by yourself and you feel like you're suffering these temptations alone. But listen to this, you're not alone. God is with you. God understands. He sees everything, even when you're by yourself, even when you are in a situation and you feel like, man, I can't believe that I'm a Christian and I believe in the Lord and I read my Bible and I pray, but I still feel like I'm getting these temptations. He wants me. In other words, the devil is always wanting to tempt you to do the things that either you used to do or things that you don't want to do. Listen, there's a verse of scripture where Paul talks about in the Bible. The Apostle Paul talks about the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things that I want to do, those things I do not do. And he wrestles with this, the human nature and the spirit. Remember, now that you are born again, you have the Spirit of God living within you. What that does is that helps assist you. It helps combat against the things that your human flesh want to do. And Paul continues to talk about this wrestle, that wrestling back and forth, which is something that I can truly identify with. He says, who can rescue me from this body of death? He says, praise God, it is you. It is the Lord, basically, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made on my behalf. Amen. Today, as you're listening to this, if you feel like, man, I know the word, I know God's word, I know God loves me, I know he sent his son to sacrifice his life for me, but I still feel dirty. I feel unworthy. I feel like a creep, or I feel, you know, just like a dirty individual. You know what? You got to always remember, look to the cross, look to the cross, look to what Christ has done on the cross for you. That sacrifice he made is for all the things that you struggle with, all the things that tempt you. Remember, it wouldn't be a temptation if it wasn't something that your flesh desired. The flesh always is going to want what it wants. And unfortunately, there will be a battle all the way until we enter the grave. When you ever notice when a person dies, when a person passes away, maybe a loved one or some friend of yours or somebody that is no longer here, do you feel like they're tempted? They're not. There's no temptation. The body is dead. Now, one thing to remember is that the old you has been sacrificed with Christ. See, so anytime the devil tries to tempt you, or he tries to tell you, make you feel bad about the way you used to be, just remind him, it's like, I'm a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has died for that. He sacrificed for that. Every time you feel you, in other words, the temptation come upon you, then you just remind yourself. If it's not the devil, remind yourself that I am a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no longer this person. I'm no longer the way I used to be. I don't care whether someone is accusing you. That's one thing about the devil too. Not only does he tempt you, and he doesn't make you do anything, you're the person that does it. So if you ever are in a situation and you're tempted, and then you fall into this temptation, you begin to act out on that temptation. Guess what? Sometimes we can't blame the devil on it. The devil's job, only thing he does is he tempts you. He puts you in a situation or circumstance, or maybe a circumstance happens, and you know what? Maybe you get that voice of the devil telling you, go ahead and do it. Nobody else will know. Or maybe it's a situation where you're upset. Maybe you have an anger problem, and he says, go ahead and just say what you want to say. Give them a piece of your mind. You know, things like that. You know, maybe somebody out there driving crazy or erratical, and all of a sudden you want to do road rage or something. I can, you know, whatever the circumstance is or whatever the situation is, remember this: the Lord is more powerful. The Lord God is more powerful than what the devil is. You know, a lot of times if you're tempted, you feel like, well, God, you know, forgive me. Let me tell you something to encourage some of you. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted three times while he was fasting. Okay, and during his time of fasting, the devil came to him and tempted him three different times. Now listen, not one time after this temptation did he ask God to forgive him for being tempted. So I want to tell you that right now. If you feel like a temptation is a sin, or you feel bad that you're being tempted, your prayer, it has to be either pray or speak the word of God like Jesus did, or or to pray for strength. You know, the Lord, do what Jesus did when he was in the desert, when the devil was tempting him. The devil tempted him three different times. Once was when he was hungry, when he was fasting, and he told him, why don't you turn these stones to bread so that he can feed his flesh, so he can feed his nourishment and break his fast. But you know what the Lord told him? He quoted the scripture to the devil and told him, he says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. So listen, you got to remember that whenever you're being tempted, you don't have to worry. You don't have to feel condemned over being tempted. It's just when you react, when you act out the temptation, when you give in to the temptation, that's when it becomes sin. And when you sin, then you ask God, help me, or God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for me giving in to temptation. Remember, the body, the flesh, which is the flesh, the human nature, is going to always want to succumb to the temptation. It's going to always do that. But at the same time, you have the Holy Spirit, you have God. So Jesus understands and knows what it feels like to be tempted, because he was tempted just as you and I were. So always remember that. Don't ever feel condemned by that. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. I hope that you've gotten something out of this. And remember, just like our devotional was talking about, when he says here, it says, are you going with Jesus? From the time that you accepted Jesus, everything that Christ went through is what we go through. Remember, it is true that Jesus Christ is with us through our temptations, it says. But are we going on with him through his temptations? So listen, when Christ is in you, he's in you. That's what the Bible says. He says that he stands at the door and knocks. And if you open the door, and he will come in and reside within you. He will come in and have residency inside of you. In other words, in your spirit. Now the spirit man, which is also within you, is now awakened. So never feel as though you're alone in these temptations. Amen. So I hope that encourages some of you today. And this has been an awesome and wonderful devotional. I want you to stay with me throughout the rest of this week. We'll be opening up more of the devotional as we continue on in this My Utmost for His Highest this was day three. So the next day will be day four. I hope that you guys are again enjoying or actually commemorating this holy week and kind of consecrating yourselves and kind of taking things a little bit more serious than what we normally would be. Of course, you know, kind of thinking about what Christ must have endured during this last week. You know, what was going on? Remember, you know, Christ was in the flesh. He was also in the flesh, even though he was the God-man, but he also too was tempted. He was tempted in many ways. He had anxiety. Think about it. Think about the time of this week. Think about from the time that he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and how the everyone was celebrating and worshiping and praising him, saying Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And guess what? He's riding in, and even at that time they thought that the king, which is King Jesus, is victorious, but that wasn't, even though that was what he wished that probably could have been, but it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time to become the victorious king at that time. So imagine what he must have felt. Imagine what he must have felt as he was going on through this. And understand that Jesus was getting ready to go through the most horrific time of his life this week. So we ought to think about this week. We need to think about and think really, you know, just really think about what he went through and what he had to endure for us, and be grateful of all the blessings that God has given us, including his son, Jesus Christ, but all the many blessings that you have. Amen. So let's end this devotional today with a word of prayer. Father God, just thank you so much, Lord, for another day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for just blessing us to see an awesome and wonderful day that you've allowed us to see. Lord, we ask right now that each and every one of my believers, each and one of my listeners that are listening, will please begin to consecrate and begin to think about you and love you just like as though you love them and how you loved each and every one of us. Lord, give us the strength and give us the power and give us the power from on high to endure temptations and, you know, getting deep into the Word of God and letting the Word of God penetrate us and penetrate our lives, penetrate our hearts, getting the Word in us so that when the temptations come, we can quote back the scriptures to the devil and allow and remind him of that we know the scriptures and that the power of the Holy Spirit is deep within us and that we will not succumb to these temptations. Lord, we just ask right now to continue to strengthen each and every one of us as we go throughout the rest of our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Well, I hope that you all have enjoyed again this little episode of Larry's Biblecast. Stay with me. We're going to have a few more days of this to go. And I wish you the best for the rest of this week. And I'll be talking to you soon. God bless.